Hello, welcome to this broadcast, the English language broker but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm sweaty.
Right, okay, is that like a sort of follow on from fat?
I think it's a symptom of my fatness, because listeners will remember that I've been recently diagnosed as fat. So that maybe it's just one of these things. I mean, sweating because of the heat, not because I eat or something like that.
Okay, well, that's good to know at least. I am sitting today. We have a slightly different podcast setup. I'm sitting in my massive chair, my massive throne of glory. Because in my normal place on the sofa, we've got somebody who has seen more Zbrojovka collectively than Sam or I over the last 2 weeks.
For my sins.
It's Little Ben Cartman!
Hi!
excellent for your sinsing there.
Thank you.
I was going to say, that's
like to see us on Eurofootball Daily next week.
Set it on a good trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely set it up and he knocked it right down. So what have we got? We have got Ceylon Tabor, a review thereof, and one of Hrudim. And we've got a potted history of Tabor, we've got Hot or Not, we've got Beer of the Podcast, previews of Sparta B, and Prosteyov in Olomouc in two weeks' time, let's say.
It's the absolute dream. The absolute dream. We've got a podcast, and I'm going to say for at least the first 20 to 25 minutes, I might not have to say a word.
That is the dream, particularly for the listener. Oh. Right, hey, right.
I set myself up, I played myself.
Okay, let's talk about our away trip to Tabor after this. Okay, a couple of weekends ago, myself, Ben and Fraser, and I think 28 others, Brojovci by my count,
roughly,
went up to Tabor. And my word, didn't we have a jolly time of it?
I would put it up there in the top 300 away days of my life, definitely.
Really? That high?
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
You like that football shirts guy that keeps going to Japan and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was not a classic. It rained all day.
It did.
Thankfully, not as hard when we were there as
spitting
it had been on
in the
train.
Away end.
Yeah.
In the grassy knoll of the away end.
Yes.
Spitting in the away end, but what about the weather? I'll be quiet now.
We'll get onto that later.
Yeah. Zbrojovka lost 2-1 if you hadn't already seen it. Tabor scored after 3 minutes. When people were still kind of settling themselves down and they hadn't played that irritating pre-recorded trumpet thing in the home end.
Yeah. like when Ryanair gets you there on time.
Exactly that. Yeah. Now and again, they would play this sort of like battle cry thing.
It's like a Barney army if they were from Tabor.
Yeah, really, really.
Fuck the Barney army.
Probably the Hussites were running into battle to the tune of this.
Yeah. Not a bad chat, actually. Yeah, they scored after 3 minutes and then looked absolutely safe for 75. I mean, we scored on 74. Jirka Texel got one back. None of us noticed.
No.
Because the away, honestly, end, away bit, the kind of grassy knoll at Tabor, only just overlaps
the
pitch.
Goal line, yeah.
Yeah, the kind of byline at one end. The rest of it is sort of out the stadium. If that stadium had an end, then yes. It would, yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't be able to see it. It's a really weird one. So Texel scores, but in classic Zbrojovka fashion, in under 5 minutes, we're behind again, and 2-1 is how it finishes. So that was worth a 13, 14-hour day.
I would honestly say the midnight chicken wings from Burger King were better than any point of the match.
That was your personal highlight.
Yes.
Okay, obviously that's the thing I'm going to latch on to. I wouldn't expect a place like Burger King to do decent wings. Were they there for average wings and that's how bad Zbrojovka were? Or were they actually quite good wings?
It could be that. It could also be a combination of the many beers that are being consumed throughout the day.
Sure.
Minimal amount of food. Mm-hmm. And therefore developed a hankering for any sort of greasy meats, which could elevate it to...
any greasy meats. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
could have gone to Václavské náměstí.
any greasy meat. I feel that that's...
That's the episode title, by the way. Right there, yeah.
I've got a hankering for any greasy meat.
I mean, just as a spectacle, it was just appalling, wasn't it? It was dreadful from beginning to end.
Could you possibly attempt to define what you think our tactics were for that game?
No.
We
looked like very much what we are, which is 11 men who haven't played with each other that much and didn't really know what they were doing, whereas Tabor looked like a fairly well-oiled machine and never looked particularly threatened. And it was just crap all around. At the end of the game, when we had lost, the players came over to applaud the very small number of fans. And, there was a sort of backs-turned protest, which I didn't get involved in. I don't think you did.
I was slightly confused what was happening for a few seconds.
Yeah, we were a fair few pints deep by this point.
Yeah.
But, it was a sort of pathetic little protest, which was then reacted upon by Jan Hladík in the cup game on Wednesday, where he came over and gave the finger to the ultras, which was
hilarious,
immensely entertaining. Yeah, and they got a right cob on about it.
Yes, can I say a word on the ultras' their general performance on the day?
Of course you may.
In my opinion, you don't have much to do as a supporter, but one of your job is to actually support the team, i.e., through thick and thin, through ups and downs. This was our third game of the season, and they seem to have given up on the squad. Most of our quote-unquote ultras turned up about 15 minutes late.
Yeah, all what, five of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they proceeded to spend the next 75 minutes glaring at anyone who dared to try to get an atmosphere going, like you'd just kicked
you.
Over their mother's tombstone. Yeah.
Yeah, you then, mainly.
Yeah, yes, mainly me and Birko, which is not company I usually like to keep, but
yeah,
fair play to him, he tried.
Yeah, and the absolute entitlement of turning up 15 minutes late and actually trying to get people to move flags off the front so they could put the Slovacy one there.
Yeah.
Everyone just going, no, you're 15 minutes late, the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, as you say, failing to get any atmosphere going but being annoyed at anyone who tried.
Yeah.
It was pretty shitty all
around.
I think
if you want to take this attitude to the game, your best option is to boycott.
It's
worked for many clubs. Sparta did it last season and they got concessions from their club for it. If you really care that much about it, don't go.
Although, during the pre-match warm-up, you got a lovely wave from Moussa Ali.
I did.
Didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. You
did,
shouted
yeah.
over the fence at him. He
yeah.
looked up, gave you a little grin, little wave.
Highlight of my life.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it?
So if I'm following this correctly, so our ultras this season have... Now, if we're keeping a list, sort of turned their backs on the team in what is a pretty tricky game in the sense of how good Tabor
Grateful.
Have started.
Grateful.
Yeah.
Table topping Tabor. They're not table topping right now, but they're close to it. So they've done that. They've started beef with Jan Hladík, who's been at the club now for 4 years,
and
they've also incurred a fine for the club for racist chanting in the open day of the season.
Yes.
Is there anything else I've missed here, lads?
You missed the fantastic irony of about 5 minutes after said racist chanting, warmly applauding Moussa Ali as he entered the pitch to try to somehow ingratiate him to the club to stay. Ingratiate the club to him, Robin.
Yeah.
And that's very good to know in advance of our signing of Guinean international
Camps Omara.
Which was announced today, I believe, on social media, or was it yesterday?
Yesterday. Because I saw a lot of GIFs showing two chimpanzees walking around. Wonder what that could possibly be symbolising.
Lovely.
From our fans?
Yes.
Oh, great. Can we just start, like, I know that I'm going very off-piste here, David. Can we just start banning people? I don't want to be that guy, but can we just start banning people?
Probably need the money from them.
Well.
Do you want to take those people's money? I don't think so, but...
Well, I mean, Zbrovka will take anyone's money from anywhere,
let's
be honest. Although, it is nice to see Ali back. Did he start against...
I think he came on.
Yeah, we're sort of slowly getting him back. And with that in mind, would you like to play a lovely game?
Oh, yes, I would.
David, What's the game called?
It's called Simon or Sally with Moussa Ali.
Simon.
Right, here we go. Right.
I didn't think this would become a thing.
It's absolutely becoming a thing. Young Moussa is, as we know, a massive fan of obscure pop culture. So he would like to know if I am describing here a Simon or a Sally. You've got three each.
God.
Oh, God.
Right.
Going to draw nil-nil.
We'll start with Ben. I'm going to give you a surname and then a description, and you have to tell me if that person is a Simon or a Sally. Okay?
Right. Is he getting an easy one to start him off? Or is he going straight into it?
Yeah,
okay.
No, okay.
Oh, God. Don't say that, because now I'm like a right idiot when I get this wrong.
Right. Simon or Sally. Phillips, an actor, comedian, and TV presenter who competed in Series 5 of Taskmaster.
I've honestly no idea.
Sounds,
but it sounds like a Sally.
1 point to Ben. Yes,
comedian. She did Smack the Pony. I believe.
Let me Google her.
And she was in Bridget Jones's Diary as well.
Oh, was she?
She's been in a couple of things. Yeah.
I was just waiting for you to come up with Gunnell or something like that.
No, I wasn't going to be too obvious.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, Sam.
Okay.
Your opener, Newcomb, a Canadian astronomer.
That is Simon Newcomb.
It is Simon Newcomb. Very good. There we go. That's 1-1.
Did he become a duke? I'm never allowed back on here, am I? Never allowed back
Can we have him on all the time? It just takes so much of the pressure off. Honestly, I can just sit here going, Sally. Yeah, I can't believe we're playing this. I can't believe people are listening to this right now.
I don't think they will be for a lot longer. Ben, Nugent, a BBC Breakfast News presenter.
I think it's Sally.
It is Sally. Yes, very good. That's 2-2. Sam. Brown, the younger sibling of Charlie Brown in the Peanuts comic series.
Ooh. All right, I'm going to just go with the mantra that usually when you have two children in a comic thing, one's a boy and one's a girl. So I'm going to say that is also a Sally.
That is excellent logic and completely spot on. Well done. And finally, Ben, the seal, the subject of a song on Ralph McTell's children's album, Alphabet Zoo. Which I have in my CD rack over there.
I'm going to say Simon.
And you would be wrong to say so. It's Sally.
Oh, so this one doesn't matter.
Yeah,
well, it's either going to be 2-2 or Sam's going to win it.
Desmond.
Okay. Sam.
He said... you got the first one right, didn't
you? Sam.
Cursed you.
The Sorcerer. The title character of a cult point-and-click video game.
Ooh. So we're talking like early 90s sort of
Monkey Island
on your Amiga sort of thing. The Sorcerer.
Yes.
I think I know this one. I think it's because I think this is very. I think this is held in quite high acclaim. I think it's Simon the Sorcerer.
It is Simon the Sorcerer. 3-2. Voiced by Chris Barry from Red Dwarf. Oddly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good game.
Good game.
Excellent game of Simon or Sally with Moussa Ali. There we go. And there'll be more of those to come. I've written 6 already.
Oh, lovely.
Slow summer for the old job, was it?
Right, we are going to take a bit of Hot or Not, and that will be coming up right after this. It's the Hot or Not section of Sprovcast, the podcast. Not sure why I clarified that, but there we go. One each?
Yes, one each.
Yes. One each. Ben, as the guest, do you want to start?
I'll start with a not.
Okay.
A recent injury to Emi Buendia has prompted the Villa players to wear like a Fuerza Emi shirt prior to our thumping away to Newcastle.
Okay.
He's not dead, lads. He's got a knee injury. This is a trend, I believe, was started in the first ever Premier League injury was sustained by Virgil van Dijk of Liverpool. And it's continued since then, and it needs to stop.
Yeah. Are they going to do it for Tyrone Mings as well?
Wait and see.
he's also dead.
I hope it's when you have a, you know, someone, you know, can't start because they've got a groin strain, you know, in the warm up. We were all with you. That was for you, bro.
Yeah.
I'll go for a hot. Okay. And by hot, I don't want this. I mean, hot in that it is probably topical right now, rather than me giving any endorsement to this.
Right.
This is basically been pretty much given to us by Mr. Liam Govey. Hello, Liam. I've gone for Crackpot X Pros, David and Ben. Spurred on by the recent David Cotterill tweet / Instagram message. Do you remember what that message was about?
About
Obama being
Michelle
the homosexual, no?
Obama being trans?
You're both right.
Both.
People keep saying, what's the issue with Obama being gay? No problem at all, but you have to think, if he can lie about that and he was president of the US, what has he lied about? Well, trafficking kids for one. So that's starting. You're like, okay, well, I mean, he's not gay. And then he goes, Michelle is born male, that's another. Watch this space, Michelle Obama, first transgender to run for presidency.
Right, David.
Mad one.
He's been at it for a few years.
He's done it. A lot of people have done it for a while. I've got another one. Can you guess which pro this is? Yes, it is. I see Donald Trump is being indicted again. I wonder what Biden family crime this is being used to divert us from.
Oh, God.
Ricky Lambert is another one.
Oh, yes,
Ricky Lambert's going
fantastic
mad.
He's gone on it as well, hasn't he? Yeah.
And this is not exactly crackpot in terms of conspiracy theories per se, but also, does anyone have Paul Merson on Twitter?
No.
Where all that Paul Merson does these days is like basically sell CBD gummies. I told my mates and no one believed me, but with brand name CBD gummies, I can solve aches, pains. It's just, he does this all the time. All he does is sell CBD stuff. There's like a group of them. It's him, Letitia, some rugby prick. Like, it's crazy.
They're like Prague tourist traps.
Like, honestly, I think, you know, once you retire from football, I think we need to get to the point where either you go into coaching or you just get put down. I think that's the nicest
thing for all of us.
The
big football farm in the sky.
Yeah. The David Cotterill stuff's kind of mad, though, because he claps back, he answers back to people on Instagram. They go, you know, I knew something was up, and then he's like, yeah, you have to read into it. What?
Yeah.
What are you on about?
Do your own research.
He's also the one, and feel free to cut this out if it's too long, but he does the thing where he finds random numbers in stuff and adds them together and is like, 11 men on a football pitch equals 3 plus 8, and 8 is this, and so we're all going to die from HIV.
I love that shit. It's mad, isn't it?
Very into that.
Yeah. I will give you a not. It's a very quick one. It's Sheffield United. They have pinched Gustavo Hamer from Coventry to give him an utterly soul-destroying 10 months of Premier League football. Where's the joy? He's an utterly joyful player. And, I just feel really sorry for him.
It's no life, is it?
No. being paid, you know, 60 grand a week to play Premier League football. No life at all.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Can I say, I don't care. He might get 10 minutes of game time. He might play pretty much every match. However long he plays for Sheffield United, I'm confident he will be better than Ollie McBurnie.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that about anyone in this room.
I've seen you play football. It was close.
Yeah.
Ollie McBurnie can hit a penalty.
Ooh. Well, I didn't get a chance to take one, so
he's English.
Yes. So there we go. I will. Bring this very quickly, we'll go the other way around the room. I've got a hot, and it is the Cultural Heritage Commission of Italy. They've decided that San Siro is of cultural and historical significance to the city of Milan. This happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
And have imposed a restriction on demolishing it. If Inter and AC want new stadiums, they'll have to be on a different site, and they will both be there currently looking to build their own. But basically, in 2026, the San Siro will be 70 years old and is therefore covered by the Historic Monuments and Cultural Icons laws.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's nice. I'm not sure what they'll do with it, though. That's the other thing, you know.
Well, it'll be there conveniently every year for when Depeche Mode roll into town.
Yeah.
It's always these stadiums are for these days.
Yeah. All right, Sam?
I'm going to make a tough decision because I've got two nods, but for brevity's sake, I'm going to go with Repiştje, who lost 26-0 to Prostějov in the cup. And it is absolutely not a not for them. It's a not for Prostějov. Because you were, I believe, 12-0 up at halftime, lads, against a team that is, I believe, currently in quite a lot of transition because their management team was fucked off, basically. Where was the need to then go and just do the same thing in the second half. I don't get it.
Yeah, it was a club from the ninth league who were playing their B team because of some dispute or other.
Well, I thought, I kind of saw it from the other way. I thought if, because the first team were on strike, no? And I thought that maybe if Prostayev just add as much humiliation as possible, it might embarrass the president and whoever is making these bollocky decisions.
Yeah, but you could do it for a half, couldn't you?
True.
You know, you just go, this is how much you need players, and then just take your foot off the
pedal. We all need stat and padding.
Yeah.
I also actually, on this note, actually do have a serious request for our listenership. Because I had a look at this and I couldn't really get any information. Is that a cup record? Is that a Czech cup record? If it is,
Good question, please. Let
me know, because I'm genuinely interested. And we'll get onto this later on when we talk about the preview. But then, is the 11 goals scored by Jan Silny also a record as well?
Good question.
I'd be very interested.
Yes, please, listenership, get on this. And Ben?
A very short one. Fair play to the Lionesses getting their way to the World Cup final.
Yep.
This is your not, right?
Came into the competition in really bad form, had a rocky opening two games, and they've just done their way to the final. Knocked out the co-hosts.
Yep.
In a as hostile an atmosphere as you can expect in that competition.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, hopefully they're going to do it. The business on 12 PM our time on Sunday.
Yeah, it's against Spain, isn't it? Yeah. You're shaking your head there, Sam.
Don't ever let it be said that I am some sort of sexist, because I hate both the England women's and men's team. So, well done to you all. Hope you go home in tears.
And that's the end of that chapter. Would you like a potted history of Tarbor and a quick discussion of the town, because the team is only about 12 years old?
Nah.
Well, tough.
Yeah, actually.
Right, a quick potted history of what is now FC Ceylon Tarbor, by the way. It's a very short one. They were founded, as the concerns now going, in 2012 after the merger of FK Spartak, MAS, Sezimovo Usti and FK Tarbor. Sezimovo Usti is about 4 kilometres from Tarbor, and neither club had done anything of note. This is as high as they've ever been. I think now probably it is literally as high as they've ever been, second in the second division. Yeah. Sezimovo Usti as a club dates back to 1926, and FK Tarbor was founded in 1921 as DSK Tarbor. In a competition I had previously never heard of, news, if you remember last week, Dukla won that mad American thing,
The
Super
American Cup.
Super Duper. Yeah. Yanko Cup or something, yeah. Tarbor won the Pearl Cup. The Pearl Cup in both 1943 and 1944.
As in the thing that you find in oysters.
No, but it is made out of pearl. It's a really odd-looking trophy.
So this is some Protectorate Days competition.
It's still going.
It's still going.
The last winner was AFC Humpolets.
I used to teach a guy who played 4th Division ice hockey for Humpolets.
Did he?
That's my connection to the town.
That's a tough life, isn't it?
Yeah. What, teaching? Yeah.
Humpolets. Was his name Bernard?
Yeah.
That's from Humpolets, isn't it?
It certainly is. The Pearl Cup is a summer competition in the village of Žirovnice, which is where this, like, master pearlier, or whatever you call it, was from. And he made it. Basically, he started this competition in the 20s and made the trophy out of pearls. And traditionally it's for lower league teams, but
it's like when, an FA Vars kind of.
Yeah, sort of FA Vars thing. But when the going gets tough for bigger teams, they tend to enter and then just batter people to get a trophy and then come home again. So in like 1996, Slavia won it. For example,
Villa do this with the Birmingham Seniors Cup.
Do they?
We enter our like under 23s to play some 200th division team. And
yeah, it has been won over the years by teams like Union Cheb, Slavoj Žirovnica, FC Pelhřimov, as I said, AFC Humpolets. So yeah, it's a kind of summer sort of knockabout trophy. Yeah, and they won that twice. 1943 and 1944 when you would have thought there were more important things going
bigger,
on.
Bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, sure. But apparently not.
When did the Soviets get here?
So there we go.
Late 44?
Possibly even 45.
Possibly, yeah. I'm trying to find this cup to take a look at it. And
it's
I can't
only
find
on
it.
Czech Wikipedia. There's no English language entry.
I'm looking for Perla Pohar and all this sort of stuff.
Anyway, Cylon, by the way, who now sponsor Tabor, make what they mysteriously list. I actually Googled them to see what they did. They make what they mysteriously list as technical compounds, but are basically just like alternatives to plastics for pipes. Okay. And their products are all called things like Taborex and Taboren. They're all named after the town, all these like sort of bendy carbon fibre compounds, basically.
Is it like a Zlin job that they changed the name, or have they always been
Cylon? No. This is a sponsorship thing. Because previously they were just FC Tabor, and then they were like Mas Taborsko, and things like this. And yeah, it's just a sponsorship name dealy thing. So that's things that we've learnt about Tabor.
Yeah.
Hooray. Hrudim. Hrudim. Thank you, Ben, for joining in with that. Sam, poor effort.
Other things on my mind.
Okay.
Like hearing what happened during this game.
Yes, I would also like to hear that, because we were both at a wedding, not ours, as you put on social media. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes, congratulations to the happy couple.
Yep.
And thanks to the pints. other people that had pints include Ben, who was also with, you were with Alex, was there?
Alex Fraser and
Lee
was also there.
Yeah. Lovely.
A motley crew.
Yes. Yeah.
Rocking up to the game.
Yeah, the lesser spotted Lee Adams there. Lovely.
Yes. Good weather for it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, summer has reasserted itself in the Czech Republic after about 10 days of almost constant rain.
Or if you're listening from the UK, 10 days of your summer.
Yeah. And yeah. So, give us a quick rundown. What happened, man?
Well, for basically the first time ever, I was running late to a Zbrojovka Brno game, and as I was walking down the streets to the stadium, I heard a roar going up, and I checked my app to see that Rzeźniczek had rolled in a penalty. And I was like, if there's any goal to miss, that's all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I get in, and just as I enter the stadium, they smack one an inch wide of the post, and I was like, maybe I should just leave again, because it's not going our way with me here. But then we looked really, really good, or Hrudim looked really, really bad.
They are now bottom of the table.
I think they're in big trouble.
I would be very, just based on that performance, I'd be really surprised if they stay up this year. Really. They looked dreadful in all parts of the pitch. They had about, in the whole game, they had about 15 minutes of pressure. Didn't particularly look like scoring, even against our defence. And every time we went forward, I felt we could get a goal.
Well, you know, that is our back four now, reinforced by the returning Shurdal, of course. So, you know, a step up to, you know, first league level there with that lad.
Great.
That agent of chaos returning.
It's put him with Endel again. That was a great laugh last time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Will, though. I'm joking, but they absolutely will. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you want me to walk you through the goals?
You can if you want, yeah.
I would love to. First of all, I'd love to give a shout out to Potocny. He's someone who I'd say had a pretty quiet start to the season.
Yeah.
He was getting in behind, turning, doggedly fighting for everything down the left-hand side. He looked really impassioned, up for it, quite skillful, again, against a quite meagre defence, but he looked pretty up for it and skillful and getting past people and doing turns and tricks and getting balls into the box, which is what you want from someone working down the left channel, which is where he seems to be operating all day. Second goal we went 2-0 up, it was a crossing from, I believe, Potocny. I don't know who headed it on, probably Zeznicek. And Smejkal, making a Lampard-esque run into the box, got the rebound. So, and from that point, you felt the game was safe already. And it was only about half an hour in.
I mean, that's the first thing we've really seen from Smejkal. My precious. But it seems he's finally turned up after four games.
Is he actually good? That's my question. Because I thought he was good, and then he rocked up. And I don't think it's unfair to say that he looked shite. So, did you get the feeling just from, you know, after that goal, let's say, the performance, that he looked like he was better or improving? Or was that possibly like a one-off sort of thing for him?
What I'm hoping is this performance will give him the confidence that he can do it. Yeah. And it gives him a bit more freedom in even just his own mental freedom to carry on. Again, he was playing a poor team. It's really important to emphasize that. It's a team that probably will be playing third division football next season.
Mm-hmm.
But he did look really good against them.
I think part of the problem with Smejkal is that he's probably just really off the pace. I mean, he didn't really feature that much last year. I just think he probably needs to get up to the rough and tumble of Druga Liga football.
I think that's also the thing that I'm forgetting as well is that if they are signing for a team in the second tier, they're signing for a team in the second tier for a reason. And that's something that I think we need to maybe think about.
Yeah, because there's lots of shocking teams in the first division. If he can't go to them, there's a reason he's with us, right?
Little or no money. I am very confident in the, in the way that, you know, people may laugh at sometimes at the recruitment strategy of football clubs Brojovka Brno. But the one thing is, you can guarantee that if they're shite, it's not like we've paid anything for them.
True.
Considering the last time we paid a fee for a player was something like 2016 or something insane.
I was about to say, even if they're good, we've not paid a fee for them. So
yeah. And the thing is, that if they are good, we very rarely get a fee for them. So it's all just full circle.
The first ever cashless football club, and not in the technology. Very we good. Just don't use cash at all.
I want to let Ben get back to the recap. Can I just give a very quick shout out as well to one of our former players, Ladislav Krejci, too, for leaving us for not very much money and absolutely fucking his team last night.
Yes, it was very close to being my heart until England won today.
Yeah,
very close to being my hot.
I was considering it solely because the lad at the end is a Panenka to finish it in Prague. Lovely stuff.
Ladislav Krejci 2 and Noriaga. Anyway.
Right, so there, we kind of see out the first half, nice and easy. Second half, again, every time we go forward, their midfield is non-existent. We basically have a 3-on-3 or 4-on-3 every time we bother to get on the pitch. And one time we hit on the break down the right-hand side. Zeznicek's waiting in the middle. It gets cut back to him. He takes a touch to kind of set himself. Stands basically on the penalty spot and plants it across the keeper. Keeper barely even moves. And
it's classic, 3-0. Classic butcher there.
It is. Classic butcher. And then, two or three minutes later, he gets his hat-trick. He completes his hat-trick. We get a break from Moussa Ali. Again, non-existent midfield. He tears about 40 yards up the pitch. Plays it off to Zeznicek, who holds it up, plays it back out to the right, gets himself into the middle, gets the ball back, holds up the defender and sweeps in. It's a really, really lovely team goal.
Nice.
Really lovely team goal. And honestly, I think that could be the way that we should think about setting up.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's expected of us to being like a big team, a big club in this league, to press teams and push up. But we look really dangerous, sitting back, soaking up the pressure and getting forward in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd back it, especially for away games. If we did that against Tabor, I think we'd be onto better things.
I mean, it is exactly how we opened the campaign last year, wasn't it? Very little possession, hitting teams on the break.
Yeah, the first three or four games, we were dynamite.
Yeah, playing in exactly that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be difficult for for Hrudim. Just thinking about it, I'm just very quickly going through their... through their fixtures as well, and they do have Prostyov next, but then they have back-to-back. They then have Yihlava away and Vyshkov as well, both teams that look pretty decent right now.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, freewheeling Yihlava. Absolutely, yeah. Sweeping all before them.
Don't know, the skis have well and truly come off for this season, it seems. Yeah. Because you can't play football with skis.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I got it. Good.
I do fear for Hrudin that they could be this season's Žižkov, where even if they hit a slight bit of form later, they're going to leave it all way too late. They're going to be miles adrift by the end of this kind of half season before the break.
The problem as well with this, right, is that just in case, right, I mean, you know, it's very early days and, you know, there's some teams that are big lead or whatever. Hopefully this Brojovka result is indicative of what we have done in previous seasons down here, where we've had a pretty bad start, something's clicked, and then we've just gone on to absolutely scoosh the league. In the event that we do not win the league or somehow do not get promoted, losing Hrudim is going to be dreadful if you want to watch football away, because they are pretty much the easternmost bohemian club that you can get. It's not far to go to Hrudim. You can get there in about an hour and 20 minutes by car, for example. Mm-hmm. The idea that we might be down here another season and having to trek to fucking Domažlice fills me with the absolute fear.
Dread.
Yeah. I mean, we do have to say that Hrudin got a sort of consolation on the 85th minute.
They did, but we were switched off by this point. It was a free kick about 25 to 30 yards out, came in from the right-hand side. Pretty decent header. Kind of managed to get that kind of neck muscles behind it to get it into the postage stamp, I'd almost say.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it was Václav Mika. Ka-ching! And in it went.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But by this point, we really had switched off. As you would do at 4-0. Yeah.
Could you say that they David huffed and puffed but couldn't blow the house down?
You could say that.
He had 90 minutes.
Right. There we are. That was Hrudin. Very, very nice. What is not very, very nice is that the next game is away to Sparta Prague's B team.
The Bečka bitches.
Yeah. We're going to be looking at that after this.
If you were enjoying this episode as Brojovcast because I wasn't talking as much as usual in it, now is the time to switch off now, because it's the previews, baby, and B is for bullshit because we're playing another B team away from home.
Editor's note, do not switch off now. Thanks. Carry on.
Good stuff. All right. At the very, very unfriendly time of 5:45 on a Friday, we will see approximately 8 fans. I'm just thinking that. Hardy's Brojovatsky, Futbalovi enthusiasts to go to the capital to see us take on Sparta Prague's B team. Long-time listeners and other Czech football enthusiasts will remember that a couple of seasons ago it was looking worryingly good for Sparta B, and it was possible that they might finish in one of the playoff spots, which would not result in a team below them getting promoted to that spot, but that playoff being cancelled.
Yeah,
which
thank you, Czech organisation. Great stuff.
Thankfully, they absolutely bottled their last 4 weeks, I think it was, and then they ended up petering out into fifth place. But fair play to them, because they wanted to have the exact opposite experience last season and almost got relegated. So careful what you wish for, I guess. But I think if you're a Sparta fan, you would probably take your team being relegated, considering that you won the title for the first time in 9 years. So there we go. They finished 7 points clear of the drop, but it was, you know, sort of quite a reversal in fortunes, that's for sure. Started off the season very, very average, one might say. 5 points from 5 games. Tough opening day loss to average looking Dukla, that are just better than a lot of other teams. And then they lost again to high-flying Tabor that we've just discussed on this podcast. And then they've had 2 high-score draws, one of them against the very poor Hrudim side that Ben was already talking about. Last season, I'm going to try to pronounce this properly, Tomáš Šnánalec, was their top scorer with
Schnanelec. Lovely.
Top scorer with 8, or it could be Schnanelec because it's SCH.
Schnanelec.
Oh,
that's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Tommy S was their top scorer with 8.
Let's call him Tommy S. No.
Now you've made him sound like an EDL member.
Tommy S.
Yeah. No, that's
it's one of those people that's on those documentaries that's don't like face him, has been it? Blurred out for legal reasons.
Not racist, just don't like him.
would I found this very interesting. I was looking into
EDL.
Yeah, I don't like Sir Tommy Robinson. I just found this utterly bizarre. So he's the top scorer with 8, right? His first goal was in August 2022 against Vishkov. And then he went 16 games without scoring, then scored 7 in 7 games.
What a spurter.
So if he has a hot streak, it has started already because he scored 5 in 5 this time.
Oof.
So very strange. So let's hope he goes another 6 months without a sniff at goal. One player that I think we are reasonably going to see again in against, well, this time against Brno, is our dearly departed attacking midfielder.
Sheva. Yeah.
He has been getting game time for the B team, quite significant game time. He was not in the squad against Prostyov, but he's had 75, 74, 83, 71 minutes in the other games. Highly likely that we'll go and see him. That's, to be honest, one of the only players that I'm actually really going to talk about, because when you come up against a B team, it's weird because they make acquisitions on their development players that either, you know, sort of work out or really don't, and then they just come sort of like get 5-10 minutes or whatever, go into an under-16s team or under-17s team or whatever. And they're also mixed in with A players that are having a week off, returning after injury, or just not making the grade for the actual senior side. So, you know, and in a country where there's such a mammoth divide between the two leagues, you would think that these, you know, they would be able to finish, you know, comfortably mid-table in the second tier. If you actually just talked about the players in the senior side that aren't good enough to make the first 11 for Sparta, that team you'd think would be 7th or 8th in the top league as well. Yeah. So it's a really strange one to talk about. I just wanted to point out that on Sparta B's books, technically, you have players like Christoph Daniek. So you might remember him from Sigma. He's currently valued at 1.5 million euro.
What's that club worth?
About 5.5, according to Transfer Market. You actually have Adam Karabets and Martin Vitek.
Jesus Christ.
Who are worth 2.5 million euros each. So you never really know who's going to be out of form, what they're going to line up, is going to look like. So it's really anyone's guess. And last season down in the second tier was really fascinating because we pretty much bodied them at home. I thought they looked really good for a while and then sort of collapsed. And then we were terrible against them in Prague because also the curse of Prague and Zborovka. Yeah. So I really don't know what to expect on this one, and that's why I'm quite happy to hear that we just pummeled a team at the weekend.
Mm.
I don't know what your thoughts are on this match, though.
Last time we played them away, were we not already basically up?
We were reasonably home and dry, but I think that also the goal, I think they could technically catch us, but we would have to lose every single game. I think we have to lose every single game, and then Vlashin would have to basically win every single game.
Right, okay.
And that didn't happen, of course, because that's not how football works, really. But yeah, I think we were reasonably comfortable. But really, it's not really about that, I think, when it's a B team. Well, it's more that it's really embarrassing to lose to a B team.
Yeah,
that's the one thing.
I mean, I will take a draw from this. I'm going 1-1 as a prediction.
I was thinking along the same lines, actually.
I'll take a 3-0 with Smekal scoring all three. How's that?
Okay. Bold.
Potocznie.
I didn't say for who.
Yeah.
No, actually, we can't. It can't be. Yeah. Something like, what did you say there?
Potocznie with 3 assists.
Yeah, that could be it. No, I forgot. I mean, this has always happened. Right, we're away in Prague, and it's like they're playing Michal Ševčík. So absolutely, we're going to concede.
Yeah,
that's how it
but
works.
But maybe Ševčík will take the Zborovka curse in Prague. And we'll have an absolute stinker against us. I remember the last time we played in this division, some, I don't know who it was, but they played Europa League midweek and played against us at the weekend. That was fun.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he was Bulgarian. He was that Bulgarian international. Mm. Yeah, I know exactly who you mean. I don't know what's happening.
Seems like
him.
A very fair system, again. Fantastic organisation by the Czech FA.
Yeah. Right, talking about fantastic organisation, we have organised the time to have a beer of the podcast, and that time is right now.
Sounds a lot better with three people, doesn't it?
It does sound a lot better with three. Lovely three-part harmony.
It's like the Bee Gees, isn't it?
Bee Gees.
Shotgun Barry.
I mean, that's just mean. Why would you do that?
Shut up, Maurice.
Fine. They call me... Some people call me Maurice.
Well, if you're still listening to us, Brojovka Brno theme podcast after 5 years, you probably are also having a hard enough time staying alive. So it is a regular feature, beer of the podcast, dear and me. This time it was David's choice. David.
It certainly was. We... Okay,
one every episode.
Still recovering from that. Right. I took a leaf out of Ben's book, actually, who reminded me, if you go to the candy store... One of the couple of branches of that, they have beers there.
True.
So if you are in the UK, this is one you can join in on.
Ooh. Mm. Interactive.
Ooh. Exciting. Ooh.
Can I make a guess?
Go on.
Is it Old Speckled Hen?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's too dark.
It's been a while, all right?
Sorry. Also, in the branch I went to, they didn't have Old Speckled Hen. They had Spitfire, which I didn't buy.
I like Spitfire.
I bought a fantastic one called London Black Cab. By Fuller's the other week.
Oh, okay,
really
Fuller's,
good
yes,
beer.
Like, yeah.
Really good beer.
Well, this is Innis and Gunn Brewery. They're from Edinburgh.
They are from Edinburgh.
And this is their Caribbean Rum Cask Matured Red Ale.
Okay.
So, as described, it's relatively strong. It's 6.8%. And yeah, it's
cold
says,
winter's night.
Says,
cold
beer
winter's
is...
night fever, right? Right enough.
It says this beer is Caribbean rum cask matured to unlock natural hints of vanilla, fruit, and spice. Aged 51 days.
This is going to be superb or awful.
Right. Well, with that in mind,
shall we?
Let's dive in.
Yeah. So have a big drink, and then we can ask David how deep is your glug.
Sorry.
Smells of rum.
Yeah, it smells of rum and coffee.
Ooh, that is smooth as velvet.
That's so sweet.
It's very sweet, isn't it?
It's like, it's very smooth though, you're right. It just goes down.
Yeah.
It's like lovely.
The coffee is there because it tastes like drinking the coffee. Cause it's
honestly,
slightly coffee, slightly toffee.
It's,
as well,
this is
a little bit of toffee in there.
It tastes like someone has taken like a red ale and they've swirled through a couple of tablespoons of demerara sugar.
It actually tastes slightly like the at the very end. It's like the strawberry quality street.
The best.
Yeah, the best one.
I'm not. Shut up! What? The best one?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
You think that that's the best thing of a quality street? It's the one with that strawberry fondant stuff in it.
It's fantastic.
Lovely.
Either that or the orange one.
You guys on glue. Like, those are the ones that get left along with the coconut
the
ones.
No, the coconut, obviously.
Honestly.
God, what?
Toffee penny, get it up
here. Toffee penny, fuck me.
Toffee penny or a good fudge. Or a purple
one. Well, the chocolate.
Anyway, back to the ale.
Sorry.
I was going to go off on a horrible tangent there, going there. Do you know that they've just re-released the roses in the original boxes?
Ooh.
Magic moments. Feel free to edit this out, by the way.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Interesting beer.
Yeah. I actually, for the amount we have in our glasses, I actually had to buy two because they only come in these little 330ml jobs.
To be fair, at 6.8,
that's true.
Yeah,
I'll set you off on your journey, won't it?
Few of those, and you'll be
yeah. Shitting yourself. What was that noise?
Well, I don't know.
Stay tuned. To
yeah, we'll get Ben's reaction in about half an hour. Yeah, it's not bad though. Like, you know, for a, you know, as you know, listener, I'm not really an ale or a stout person, but that's smooth. I like the smoothness of it.
I personally will be buying this. Yeah. I like
that's
that.
The best compliment I can give. I think you again, we use this, I think we do this a lot on this program, but describe it as a sort of a one pinter or something, because I think you could have one of these, be reasonably happy with the world. I think a second or third would be quite difficult.
I don't know, but imagine you sat in some like country pub,
yeah,
in a deep armchair, in front of you,
yeah,
nice book to read,
and then you go, holy shit, is that Maurice Gibb in the corner?
But he's got nothing to be guilty of.
Unbelievable. If you have more slightly tenuous Bee Gees related puns, zbroofcast@gmail.com.
Because currently we're like three islands in the stream, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, if right, just before this night fever gets any worse, let's hear what Sam has to say about the last preview, which is us playing Frosty Off Away in some days' time.
Well, moving on from the last section, we are going to be not going to Prostayov, but going to Olomouc, where, technically, a Hatifka Olomouc Stadium, where Prostayov are spending at least part of their season while their ground gets redeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on from the last section, though, I hope it's not going to be a tragedy. that's the last one, I promise. Prostayov did not look good last season. They finished 4 points above the drop zone, and they had the joint worst goal difference, minus 18. And actually the team that conceded the most with 57, conceded 57 goals last season.
In 30?
Yeah, in 30. That's a lot of goals.
That's a lot of goals.
That's a lot of goals. That's almost two a game. So,
for any maths fans out there.
If you're not Alan Turing and can't figure that out.
I'll be honest with you, I'm looking at it now thinking it was obvious. I did put that through a calculator. it's surprising, therefore, that they've only brought in one defender. And he was a right back.
Mm. Did they concede every goal from the left hand side?
Pass the player on the left hand side. Yeah. And, do you remember who that was?
Musical Youth.
Musical Youth. Well done.
From Birmingham, I believe.
They were.
Yes.
They were.
There you go, for all four of my friends listening at home. I got my third Birmingham reference.
There you go.
That's three too many for my liking. But yeah.
Good on you, Bab.
Is that what I wanted?
That's look at me embracing regional differences. Prostayov can fuck off though. We have a terrible
back to the regular level of discourse.
We have a terrible record against them away, and it's much to my disappointment that I realise we are actually playing them away, because I thought until about an hour ago we were playing them at home. Last time out, 2-0 loss. That prick Kodelka, who never looked settled at Zbrojovka, scored against us and gave it the cupped hands thing. And then I got home and realised that my cat had ran away. So not a great Saturday for Sam beating that day. We'll see how they get on. Because like I say, they've not really brought in any defenders. They've brought in two defensive mids and they've recalled one, which has... And they've got some second-tier experience, which is good. David Habusta is useful and he's sort of comfortable in filling in as a centre back. Though thinking about it now, if you're a defensive mid and a good one, I think you should be able to fill in on occasion at centre back anyway. Does come with a warning that he did spend the last two seasons with Trinets, and Trinets got deservedly relegated. Down,
yeah, absolutely. Textbook goal concession team as well.
Yeah, just the last couple of seasons never really looked comfortable. It's an important role to fill defensive mid. I fully expect Prostyov to line up 4-1-4-1, which is what they've done in the last few matches. But moving on to, I think, more exciting stuff, because I think, honestly, one of the biggest coups in this division is getting Jan Sielny on loan. And like a player that if he came on loan to Zbrojovka, I'd be really contented with.
Were we not linked with him in like the January that we were down last time?
Maybe just because he lives in Brno.
Yeah, just, that was it.
You know, maybe just, you know, lives on the 12 tram. So they were like, yeah. I saw Jan Sielny going into the Roses the other day. So,
well, that's it, and a player
done deal.
You know, with a proven record at this level as well.
Absolutely,
he was Li Shen's top goal scorer, and he moved to Yablonets because Yablonets were looking like in serious trouble, and they were able to get out of it. But like, because of that, and I'm assuming it's because the player and club were made an offer that they couldn't really refuse, their title challenge just completely evaporated in the spring once they got rid of him. So, unfortunately, since then, because he's a good player, Sielny, he's tall, he's strong, he's got good movement. He's been unable to break into that Yablonets team. able to dodge that guy, try to lamp him. He was really unconvincing at Zlín in his first loan spell there as well. So, like I say, 11 goals against Hrepišće must be some sort of record. I would be backing him, and I think it would be disappointing for him to get anything less than about 10 goals,
in
this spell. Do you know who we're also going to be reunited with, David?
No.
Going to be reunited with Robert Bartolomeu.
Really?
Robert Bartolomeu.
Around,
starting
Bart.
His third season with the club, old Bart.
We didn't see him a lot last time around because he was either injured or sort of coming back into something. We didn't see him that much when we played them away.
No.
I think he sort of bullied us for a bit and then he started off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sums up Robert Bartolomeu these days, to be honest with you. He showed a lot of promise early in his career. The wheels started falling off somewhat during his latter stages of his Zbrojovka stint. If I remember Dukla away performance, for example.
He felt like a coup as well, because we signed him from Zlín and he'd been good at Zlín.
And that was cup-winning Zlín that were in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, and we thought, right, we've got a player here. And he just never really kicked on, did he?
Like, I have nothing against Bartolomeu. I think he did reasonably well for us. And like, he's got a couple of absolute screamers as well. So if he does make it back up to where he's at, good on him. I just hope that he just doesn't end up just like seeing out his days, sort of, you know, in a sad sort of like Prostyov for 40,000 a month sort of thing, you know.
I have a question about Sielny. Is he the kind of player, because I've not watched much to be able to say, is he the kind of player, he scores decent amount of goals, is he the kind of player who can link up play as well, or is he more getting himself in the box?
That's a good question. I want to get one of the things out of the way first. People dislike Jan Sielny because when he was playing at Li Shen he wore the number 2, despite being a striker.
Does people mean David?
Yeah. He's a bit of a Lukasz Magiera style player, I would say, which is very
more than
lazy. But he is one of these guys who will be that one, like a Reznicek or something like that, but he's very good with his back to the goal as well.
Bring
taking
that
ball,
play.
Bring
Absolutely,
it in, turn, and then. So he's a very much a turn and bang sort of player as well, from like 4 or 5 yards if he can, and he's, you know, and he is pacey as well, so he can get back, and obviously he's going to be good in the air, just like Lukasz Magiera was, get a decent amount of his head.
It's why he worked so well with Li Shen, because it was get it up to Sielny, back to goal, and then
move the team up.
Yeah. And that gives time for literally everybody else to attack.
Right.
Yeah,
so kind of in the Jesnicek style, as you said. As you said.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him play again, but with the full disclosure that we're playing him away. He's a good player, and we have noticeable struggles against Prostyov. And I didn't even mention this, but we have already played Prostyov at HFK's ground this year in a friendly, and we lost. So let that be a warning to us all.
Okay. Well, Villa played Newcastle in the friendly and drew 3-3, and we all know how it turned out in the league.
Indeed. So let that be a warning to us all. Indeed. And if you feel like your career and or life has been ruined by listening to this podcast, do not despair, for we will be back to ruin it some more in a couple of weeks. But thank you for sticking around. Follow us on all the socials, as I'm sure you do already, loyal listener.
To thank our guest, Ben, yes, for joining us and helping us out with the coverage of the last Borovka matches.
Thank you. I hope I was less giggly and excitable as than last time.
Yes, I would say yes.
Well, I mean, I speak for at least myself saying that I hope we can share the burden and get you back on the show once again.
Indeed, yeah. It's a nice experience to have another voice that's not just me and Sam droning on and on and on. Anyway, that's it for this week. We will speak to you again when we speak to you again. Cheers then.
Bye. Hodina H, horečka mě žene a máme dnes kabene, je tu hodina H, hodina H, a, hodina H, hodina H, a, hodina H. Hodina H, hodina H, horečka mě žene a máme dnes kabene, je tu hodina H, hodina H, a, hodina H, hodina H. Hodina H, horečka mě žene a máme dneska bene, je tu hodina H, hodina H.